First Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2 and then chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll just read a verse in each place. If you want to turn there, fine. If you want to just wait. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Bible says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. My, that's a real... That verse is very full. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Is your faith in your faith, or is your faith in God tonight? Where do you stand? Are you trusting in your faith, or are you trusting in God?
Right.
People got it all mixed up nowadays. You hear it all the time. Somebody has some tragedy in their life and they make it through, and somebody asks them how, and they said, "Oh, it was my faith that brought me through it." They did it themselves. They delivered themselves by believing hard enough, strong enough. No. Don't answer that way. If somebody asks you how you were able to endure some trial, why don't you just give God the glory? Why don't you say, "The Lord brought me through. The Lord helped me. The Lord gave me grace. The Lord gave me strength." Let me read it again. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where is your faith? Is it in God? Or is it in how much you believe? How well you believe? How much you understand? Are you trusting in that to get you to heaven, or to reconcile you to God, or is that your righteousness? What you believe, how much you believe, how strong you believe? Or do you just trust in God? It's the difference between heaven and hell.
Yes, it is.
It's the difference between life and death. Eternal life and eternal death. There's a big difference. It's manifested in people's lives real clearly what they believe at some point. For a long time, it may be hard to tell. But when the trouble comes, you can tell. So where do you stand tonight? That's the question here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure. What is this treasure? Well, it's us. It's our... our soul that's made in the image and likeness of God, our life. We have it in earthen vessels. This body we live in is an earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, there's not much that you or I can do in this body. Not much we can do. We're pretty puny. In fact, the Bible calls us worms. And a worm can't do much. And that's just how we are in the sight of God, less than a worm. Mm-hmm. What God is compared to us, the power of God, that's where our faith's supposed to be, isn't it? That our faith should stand in the wisdom of, in the power of God, not the wisdom of man. I'll get it right in a minute here.
Yep.
Now, you tonight, and every other person, including myself, you're either looking to men or you're looking to God. And I mean, you've either based your faith on what somebody told you, or you've based it on the truth of God. Now, you've either based it on something you heard from somebody, or you're basing it on the truth of God that you know from the Word of God. We are influenced too much by others, much more than we think we are, by others and what they say and what we've heard. Everybody will say that they've based their faith on the truth of God. Everybody will say that. But you got to examine yourself honestly and know where you stand. Where do you run first for help when you're in trouble? That's a real indicator. Do you believe, God, that you live and move and have your being in Him? Or do you feel like that other people have a part in your survival, and so do you? Do you feel like you've got to take care of it all yourself? Or somebody else has got to take care of you? I mean, when you get sick, for example, what's the first thing you do?
Pray.
Where's that doctor's phone number?
Yep.
Got to make me an appointment.
Yeah.
Is that what you do? What's that medicine I took last time? Do you think in that realm, earthly, some man to help you, some doctor to fix your problem, somebody to help you with your money problem or whatever? Do you look for help among men or in your own self? Or do you look to God? You know, watch little children. He said, Jesus said, except you become as little children, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You can't. Little children don't go no place else. If something's wrong, where do they run?
Dead.
Yes, sir. They don't consider anything else.
No.
Well, that's how we ought to be with God. We ought to run to God first, not last. That tells us where we stand in our faith. Our faith, our trust, our hope, our confidence, is it in man or is it in God? Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 5, verses 18 and 19, let me read this to you. Isaiah 5, 18 and 19. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were a cart rope, that say, listen, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Well, sound like they're looking to God. Now, what do most people do? They look to God as a last resort when there's no other place to look. And what we talked about Wednesday night there about the situation that we're in, the present situation. I said God is our only refuge and hope. That's not the last thing. He's always been our only refuge and hope. Not just because of the present situation. The present situation just makes us realize that. It should. Should make us realize that a lot clearer. Now, when the power of God is not present and manifested, people will always base their faith on the wisdom of men. That's why it's such a tragedy when churches are so dead and there's nothing there to be heard. And nobody's listening anymore, and there's no God in the place. That's a real tragedy. Because people are looking to other people for help then. They try to figure it out themselves. What am I going to do about my situation, about my problems, about the trouble that's come my way? How am I going to fix it? How's it going to change? I got to do something. I got to find somebody to tell me what to do. I got to find somebody that'll help me do what I got to do. What should you do first? Well, you ought to run to God. That ought to be your first place to run to. Lord, help me. If you're on an airplane and it's crashing, you ain't saying, hey, is there a mechanic on board? We need somebody to fix this thing. The motor's done quit on us. We're headed for the ground. No, what does everybody cry at? First words out of their mouths. Go God. I've read where atheist pilots, I remember one was a pilot, he was an atheist, a brazen one, boasted about how he didn't believe in God. He crashed. And on the recorder, they had his voice saying, oh God. Mm-hmm. Was his last words. Mm-hmm. Didn't believe in God, but he's calling out to God. Mm-hmm. That ought to be natural for a child of God to cry out to God. First, in any kind of, not just a life and death, airplane crashing, car wrecking, somebody pointing a gun at you. It ought to be in the little things of life too. Our little problems, our little aches and pains, our sicknesses and everything, we ought to go to God.
Yes, amen.
Well, ask God for help. Ask God for wisdom about what to do. Didn't he say he would give it if we ask? Ask and ye shall
receive.
Yeah. We don't get our prayers answered because we don't go to Him first. If I come to you last, you're not going to feel very important to me, are you?
Nope.
No, you're going to feel like you're just being used. Well, God feels the same way. When the church is a powerless social club, people are looking to men for help and deliverance and wisdom and all their needs. It's been real discouraging to me. Well, I won't say discouraging, but it's just been a confirmation of what I already thought about a lot of these churches around. This virus deal come along and how they all react to it. Now they just fall right in line and believe anything the world does. They follow the wisdom of the world. They obey the wisdom of the world. Instead of looking to God, having some discernment and wisdom. You're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now if you do, you're not going to prosper, that's for sure. And the Bible tells in Psalm 1 there what's going to happen to people that walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So I try my best not to walk in their counsel. They're not going to tell me what to eat, not to eat, where to go, not to go, how to do everything in my life. I don't need that from them. I was living a long time before a lot of these wise guys of the world come on the scene here that's got all these rules and crazy ideas about how to eat and cook and live and everything else. That's right.
Yep.
You need to learn to turn away from the ungodly and not walk in their counsel.
That's right.
That's right. Yes,
sir. About anything. About everything. I believe this world is insane.
Yes. Yep.
They're off of their ever-loving rocker.
Yes.
About everything. You know, there's no difference between the genders now. You know, there's no difference. You know, they're just making up all this stuff. They're crazy.
Yes.
They don't know their right hand from their left. They don't know, what is that, Sikkim from...
Come here from Sikkim.
Yeah, come here from Sikkim. I really believe that. So I don't have any respect for their so-called wisdom.
That's right.
Yep, that's right.
They're liars, and they're evil people, and they're out to do others harm. They're not concerned about your welfare. Are you silly enough to think that this government is concerned about you getting sick with this COVID?
No, they're not.
A lot of people go to church so it'll be like insurance for them when they're in trouble. A lot of people go to church simply for the fellowship and the encouragement they get from others. And when we go to church to worship and honor God and to be a blessing, that's what we should go for. But a lot of people go for the fellowship, the encouragement, what they can get out of it, for what they might get out of it in the future. And I've heard people promote church attendance by saying, you know, what are you going to do when you get in trouble? You need a church family, you know. Well, that's true, but that's not what you get them with.
Mm-hmm.
What about Jesus? What about the gospel? What about salvation and sin and the Holy Ghost? I thought that's what church's supposed to be preaching. I thought that's what you fished with.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were supposed to use the other kind of baits. Boy, you need us. We'll be a blessing to you. Your life will be better if you're in church. That's why the churches are filled with a bunch of moochers.
Right.
Just there to get some help when they're in trouble. There's some benefit. You know, you're supposed to go to church to give, not to get.
That's right.
More blessed to give than to receive. If everybody had something when they come to church, man, we wouldn't get out of here half the night. We'd still be here.
Right.
Everybody giving what they got. But most people don't have anything to give. They come to get. There's some benefit to this as far as physical needs and problems go, but there'll be perplexities and problems and needs that can't be met by other people in church or anywhere else, or by their money or by their wisdom. You're going to face things in life that nobody can help you with. Even at church, they can be there to hold your hand, but they can't help you with it. You're going to face stuff like that. You know, I pity people that just run to somebody else every time they have any kind of problem, any kind of difficulty in their life. Facebook's a pretty good example of it. You know, the people that get on there and whine and cry and talking these riddles about, oh, pray for me. Ain't going to say nothing now. Can't say nothing. You know, but crisis time, pray. Well, why don't you just tell people what's wrong instead of this great mystery of what's going on? Well, I understand sometimes it's things you don't want to openly talk about. Well, then just stay off of that.
Yes.
Call, pray. Won't you pray to God? Don't you think He can hear you? Pray.
Exactly.
Call somebody you know can pray and ask them to pray. Don't get on Facebook and blast it all over the whole social media about whatever's going on with you.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people in church like that. Remember that time Brother Parker taking prayer requests and that crazy woman started in talking about her toe. She pray for my big toe, had a foot up there, you know.
Yeah.
It hurts so bad. And you can't get her to stop, you know. You know, as a matter of fact, I think it's sad that when prayer requests are given at church, and it's not this church, it's every church, just about. What are the prayer requests about? Sickness.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Sickness, that's all. I mean, when do we pray about lost souls and our family that's fixing to drop into hell?
Right. Yeah.
A family that's wrecking their lives and just turning it into a disaster. When are we going to say, pray for my son? Pray for my brother? Huh?
Yeah.
That ought to be first on our minds and hearts and out of our lips every time we have anything to pray about. But anyway, there's just times. There's going to be things in our lives that we're going to need God for and not other people. They may care, love, and have true compassion on us, but be powerless to help. Now, you all know that. I mean, when you go to a funeral like we did the other day, what do you say? And especially if it's people that don't know God.
Yes.
What do you say? What do you do? What do you do for somebody that's in a divorce or something like that? Or has a child that's way out of bounds? What do you do? You can't do nothing. There's not anything you can do. You can just be there. You can show compassion. That's all you can do.
Yes, sir.
Who's going to help them? God. That is the only place they're going to get any real help. The Holy Ghost called the Comforter. Jesus said He would send the Comforter when He went back, and He did. Do you know what the comfort of the Holy Ghost is like? Have you ever experienced it? Well, that's where people need to be pointed to. And that's where we need to live our lives.
Right.
Not reaching out for sympathy and help from other people. It's addictive, like a drug. Sympathy. You can't live on it. You have to have more and more and more of it. You never stop wanting it and having to have it. When you depend on the sympathy, the help, the encouragement mm-hmm. of other people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you get some steel in your heart
yes.
to live under God, in fellowship with God? David said He's a very present help in time of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he run? To God.
Right.
Not to friends, not to other, you know, brethren.
Yeah.
It's been very few times in my life since I've been a Christian that another Christian or another person really helped me when I was in trouble.
Right.
I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful they were there and that they wanted to and would have if they could, but they couldn't do it. I didn't get my help from there.
Nope.
Didn't get my comfort. Didn't get the strength I needed to get up and go on from anybody. I got it from God. And so has everybody else. That's just the way it is. It's the way it works. It's the way this deal works. If you say you're a Christian and you got to have somebody to hang on to, you are not whole. You're lacking. Where are you standing? Well, you're trusting in the wisdom of men. Somebody can tell you something. Somebody can say something to you. I believe we ought to avail ourselves of the wisdom of other people, older people, more experienced people, people who've been through trials. Yes, sir. But I remember one time at the camp meeting over there, Brother Earl was back. We was going back in the room to pray. Brother Earl was lingering around in the hallway back there. You know how he did, because he'd just get stopped and he'd talk to everybody come through. And I remember some young guy come through and said, "Brother Earl, give me something. Give me something. Give me some pearl. Give me something." Well, Brother Earl, then what's he going to do? I mean, how you do that? Listen, son, why don't you just go in there and pray? And then when we get out there, why don't you listen to the Word of God? Won't you ask God to give you something? Why should He give you something that He's got from God? How can that work? Right. Everybody went out and got their own manna. They didn't send the truck out to get some for everybody and bring it back. Yes. Everybody went and got their own manna for their household. And that was it. That's the way it still works, too. If you're going to get any help, you're going to have to get it directly from God. Now, other people help. They're help, and it's an encouragement to be together. But mostly for the example of doing what I'm talking about right here. The people that have helped me most, it's not what they've said to me. It's not what they've done for me. It's not what they've given me. It was that I watched them, and I heard about them and their life and how they made it through troubles and trials. And that's what sets people apart. Oh, Brother Earl, that's what set him apart from other people. I guarantee you that's what set him apart. He told a lot of stories about his life and things and troubles he'd had, but never in really great detail. And he always told it in a way where everybody laughed about it, but it wasn't funny when it was happening, I promise you. And the things that really made the difference in his life, I don't think we ever heard about. People that find help in God, they're just strengthened for good. They're strengthened for good. Don't mean they don't ever have to go back to God again, but they've just found out where it's at. Mm-hmm. They've found out how this thing works.
Yes.
They found out where to go to get real help for their soul. And it ain't in other people. It's not in sympathy from other people. It's not in their pity. It's not in their encouraging words or their help that they give you. It's not like that. Now, you know, people, you'll find yourself in a solitary place someday where nobody can even know what's going on, where you are, or how to help you. And only God can meet the need. I don't know if you've ever been there. I have. And there were, it's just alone. You're alone, and there's no way that anybody can even know where you're at. And gotta have help. I watch people go through terrible things, you know, lose a child, lose a husband or wife, some terrible thing in your life, hard to deal with. But I've watched everybody gather around them and pray for them and encourage them, and so many people, you get on social media now and hundreds of people will promise you they're praying for you. Well, that's good, but here's the danger of it. You get the taste of that, and then you're addicted. Yeah. And when everybody else next week goes on about their life and you're still, then you're in trouble. Still! Yep. All of their prayers and offers of prayers and their encouragement and loving words didn't really help you.
That's right.
Hope y'all understand. Yeah. I'm not saying that we shouldn't encourage people and we shouldn't try to help people and we shouldn't try to direct. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you and me as individuals, you better look somewhere else. If you want real help for your soul, if you want strength to go on, if you want to really understand the things of God and the things in your life that are mixed up you don't understand, you better go to God.
Right.
And I don't mean just like like the same as the seance people do and all of that, just get somewhere and pray. You read the Word of God.
Right.
That's how God speaks to
That's
us.
Right. Yes.
He don't speak to you in a trance. And He don't speak to you in an audible voice. And He's not just going to come down on the foot of your bed and talk to you, floating through the ceiling. No, He's going to speak to you when you read His Word.
That's right.
That's right.
I can tell you that's the way that works. After 40-some years, I can tell you that's how it works.
Yes, sir.
Here's where you get your encouragement. Amen. Just start reading and labor through it. And you'll be surprised when all of a sudden, just bang, there it is.
That's right.
That's just happened to me so many times. He surprises you. It just comes out of nowhere. There's been a lot of times, and I can't really explain to you that he said, you know, I've heard people say, God, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and he said, and then just rattle off this, how he talked to him directly. I can tell you every word he said. That ain't never happened to me. It ain't never happened to me like that. Nope. Some say, well, that's because you just don't know God. Well, I beg to differ with you from there. I know what happens when God speaks to your soul and strengthens you. I know what it feels like for God to restore my soul, like David said in Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. Yes, he does. He does that over and over. He does that when you go to him, and trust in him with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Oh, that's when he does it. He ain't going to share you with the world. He ain't going to share you with your own proud self. But if you'll make him your exclusive source of wisdom and help, you'll find him to be very faithful, and he'll be there on time, every time. Now, men are men and not God. So our faith needs to be in the power of God. That's what our verse said here. Not in men. It's not good to trust in men. It's not good to even trust in princes, the Bible says. The best of men. The highest of men. The smartest. The best morally men. I mean, the highest grade of man that we can come up with. It's better to trust in the Lord than him.
Yes.
No matter what kind of a name he's made. No matter what kind of a swath he's cut. No matter what kind of a great work he has built. You better listen to God before you listen to him.
Yes, sir.
We were talking the other night, and I remember hearing Jack Hiles say that his men that were his inner circle, he said, if I told them to jump off of the bridge out here into the river, they'd do it. Bragged about it. I heard him say it.
Yeah.
And we were discussing that at home the other night. And that's what I'm preaching here tonight. Don't do that.
No.
I can't believe that a man that would know God would even think about bragging about that. That he had people following him that believed in him more than God. Yeah. Well, I had to be critical, didn't I?
Okay.
Having your faith in men is bad because men change. And they change their minds. They change in their opinions about things. They change in their doctrine. I give you names right now of people, men I've known for the last 45 years and how they've changed for the worse.
Yes.
How they've changed in doctrine. How they've changed in morals. And if you change in doctrine, you will change in morals. There was an old saying that the churches all knew and heard often years ago that if a man goes wrong in his doctrine, he'll be wrong in his morals before long.
Yes, sir.
And that is true. So I've watched these guys climb the ladder of the world and get big time in religion and all of that stuff. Make lots of money. Have a name for themselves, but their morals changed. Their doctrine changed. Their opinions about things changed. And so their purposes in life have changed. Men change. Don't put your faith in changing things. You better hold on to that unchanging hand.
Yes, sir.
Because you're in a world that's always changing. You're among people who are always changing. God don't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. Thank God. There's something in this universe that is stable. There's a person in this universe who happens to be the one in control of everything. And he don't change.
Amen.
He don't change his mind. He don't change his morals. He don't change his doctrine. God is always the same.
Yeah.
So I'd be better to anchor in him than to anchor in these men that are just drifting along on a rotten log.
Right.
So having your faith in men is bad because men die too.
Yes.
They just die. And they're gone.
Yep.
Then what? Our faith should be based only in the power of God. Now, God has to be a reality to us. Is he a reality to you tonight? Is God real, or is this just a religious thing you do? Do you talk to God like you're just talking to the ceiling? Or to a statue? Or somebody? Is Alexa more real to you than God is? Think about it. Do you really realize that God in heaven hears your prayer?
Yes, I do.
Do you really realize that He knows your thoughts? That He is with you always? Do you really? Really? Is that a reality to you? It must be. Our faith must be in the power of God. He cannot be just a concept or an idea or a theory. But he has to be a real and a true friend to us. Abraham was a friend of God. God called him his friend. My friend. I know Abraham. He will command his children and his household to keep my commandments.
Sure.
Abraham, the friend of God. What else is Abraham known for? What is he? The father of our
faith.
Father of the faithful. Gee, Abraham. The Bible talks about us having the faith of Abraham. Well, what was Abraham's faith in? God. Abraham didn't fool people. He lived in a tent by himself in the desert with his wife. That's the way he lived his life. He didn't mess with people. Lot went to Sodom, got in on the crowd. And look what a mess he made. Abraham lived out by himself and walked with God and trusted in God. And when Abraham had a crisis, he turned to God. And God showed him what to do. He's got to be our first resort, not our last. If we're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, if that's the way it is, if we're to seek the kingdom of God, I mean, how many more verses do we need to read where God demands that he be first in our life before we believe that that's really the way it is and that's what he expects from us? That's what he desires. It's what he demands. It's not an unjust demand. I demand the same thing of her. You demand the same thing of your wife. You women decide, you demand the same thing of your husbands. This has got to be an exclusive thing. You can't. I'm not going to just be one of many, and I'm not going to be second to anybody.
Yes.
You think God will do that? No. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Mm-hmm.
And when Israel sinned, that's what he likened it to. You've forgotten me. You've walked away.
Yeah.
You've committed adultery against me. That's the way God looked at it.
Sure.
So it's not an unreasonable demand of God for us to put him first. Above some doctor, above some psychiatrist, above some other person who we put on a pedestal in our life. I pity this poor bunch of numbskulls that think these celebrities that don't know how to even bathe themselves hardly know all about politics and what the problems of this country are all about. It's a pitiful thing. They pick the ugliest women to be the role models for all of the world. They do.
Yes, sir. Sure do.
I don't know where their taste or idea is in beauty. They're some of the ugliest celebrities now. They are. They're just ugly.
Yeah.
And hold them up as examples. And people look to them for wisdom.
Yeah.
They look to them for guidance and answers. What do you think Jane Fonda knows about politics or anything else?
Nothing at all.
What is this bunch of Michael Moore? What does he know about anything except eating?
Yes.
Amen. You can tell by looking at him, he likes that and he knows something about it.
Yeah.
But he don't know nothing about anything else that matters. Why would you go to something like that when you got a God, Almighty God? It says, come unto me, all you that are labored and are heavy laden. Come unto me and drink. Come unto the waters. How many times did God say, come unto me? Come unto me. Why is he saying that? Because everybody's going to the swamps and the water holes of the world.
Yes,
he must be our sure confidence and refuge. Not always on trial in our hearts.
That's right.
God should never be on trial with us. We shouldn't be trying God. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Well, now, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll know. If you'll show me this, then I'll understand. And I'll do. If you'll do this, I'll do this. Bargaining with God?
Right.
Trying to bribe God? Trying to blackmail God?
Yep.
It's terrible. He ought to be our sure confidence and refuge. He's always there.
That's right.
Anytime. Never hangs up the phone. He's never asleep. He always is there. That's got to be real to you.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stand? Is that the way God is in your life tonight?
Mm.
Or are you... Everybody goes to Google now for everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good source of information for problems and stuff. Fixing a car, it's a good deal. Fixing junk that we got to keep running, it's a good resource and all that. But people go to Google now for life advice and answers. Look up their most popular searches. See what people are turning to Google for now instead of God. You got to know that God is on your side and that He will help you. You have to know that. Will He help us? Well, it's dead sure. If we turn to Him and ask, He will help us.
Yes.
Call unto Me, and I will deliver thee. Answer thee. Answer thee. Yeah. I will answer thee. Yes, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, you sing that song in Spanish in Mexico. Remember that? Yeah. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. See? This is what I've been preaching to you all night, isn't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Faith? What's faith? Where does your faith rest?
Right.
In the power of God.
Amen.
Not in men. Now that's the kind of faith it takes to please God. You've got to believe that He is. There's people claiming to have faith and don't even believe God exists. You see where that Christian rock group here a couple of weeks ago, their lead singer, come out and said, well, he's an atheist. He don't believe God. Agnostic, he says, best I can do. He just don't believe in God anymore. Don't even believe there's a God. And he's singing Christian music. And all these people that supposedly trust God first and believe in Him and all of that have great faith toward, they're listening to Him and being entertained by somebody who don't even believe.
Right.
There's a God. You know what the Bible says about somebody that says they don't believe in God? He's a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Well, there's a fool. That guy's a fool. So you ain't got no right to call people fools. I didn't call him a fool. God said he's a fool. I'm just telling you what God said. You mad at God? Because God called him a fool? God knows a fool when He sees one.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith can stand in God because He never changes. Our faith can stand in God because He never lies. Our faith can stand in God because He'll never die. And any instruction given should be direct people to God Himself. You understand what I'm saying to you? We don't need all these seminars and teaching things to teach us about this and about that and all of that. We need God. That's what we need. And we need to point people to God and get people to God, not to somebody that can help them. And that's everybody's mindset. I keep saying it, but don't y'all see that? Everybody's answer is to get somebody to another person who understands better. And they've been through this and they can help you. They're not going to help you unless they point you to God. The only way they're going to help you is to say, let me tell you what, there's no way you're going to make it if you don't get with God and get help directly from God. You ain't going to make it. Now that's the only way they'll be a help to that person. If they can tell you, well, you know, I just toughed it through and it'll be all right in a few weeks. It'll feel like this. And in a month or two, well, you'll be better and just time will heal all. You tell them that stuff, ain't going to help them. Not going to help them. They won't accept that. They won't receive it as help. All right, everybody, you need to tell them you need the Lord, not you need your life straightened out. Mm-hmm. You need to tell them you need the Lord, not that you need to start going to church. Well, it'd be a help to everybody if they'd start coming to church, mm-hmm. if they're going to a church where somebody's preaching to them. But that's not what's going to straighten their life out. It's going to take God to straighten their life out. I always tell people, you need to come to church and sit still and let the Word of God, hear the Word of God until God can speak to you. If you'll come and sit in church and listen to preaching, God will speak to you. I'm not going to be able to solve your problems. I don't even know how to begin. But I can preach the Word of God and the truths that are in the Word of God like we're talking about here tonight. And I know this is right. I know this is the answer. And I know that it'll help people. You get to God, really, and all of your sin and habits and opinions and all the other junk in your life, it'll get straightened out. You ain't going to get it straightened out by coming in and saying, well, now, what do you people believe? And what's your standards on this? And thought, and then just conforming your life to fit into the crowd. That is not going to solve the problems of your life. You need to tell people that they need the Lord, not reasoning or arguing or trying to change their mind or thinking and become religious instead of secular. It ain't secular or religious. That's worldly talk.
That's right.
It's God or you don't know God. You either know God or you don't know God. That's going to be the answer that Jesus gives when they stand before Him. I never knew you. Doesn't matter how religious you were. Doesn't matter how what kind of works you done. The issue is, you never came to me. You had your own thing going. You did those mighty marvelous works, remember? It was you and you claim it. You cast out devils. You did all these things. Remember? You bragged about it. You said it. We've done all this. Didn't you see us doing it? Well, that's not what He wants. He wants to be Lord in your life.
Yes.
He wants you to be His. Thou shalt be mine, He said. I bought you. You're mine. You're the purchased possession. Remember? He gave the earnest of the inheritance, the Holy Spirit of God. We're sealed to the day of redemption. And the purchase, the redemption of the purchased. That's what, you know,
yes.
That's us. Possession.
Yep.
I want to say. The purchased possession. That's what you are. If you're a child of God. It's not hard for you to understand it that way. Everybody needs God in their life. Not as a spare tire that you just keep in the trunk or under the back of your truck and you don't even know if it's got air in it or not. Don't even know if it's still there.
Yeah.
But boy, when you have a flat, then you go look, where's that thing at? Well, you got a spare tire.
Yeah.
Now a spare tire is even degraded to a donut. You used to have a real tire. It was a spare tire. Ain't it kind of degrading to watch people run around on a donut? Do you like to do that? I mean, don't you feel kind of conspicuous and like everybody's laughing at you when you're driving through town on a donut?
Yeah.
You do. And yet we treat God like that.
Yeah, we do.
We don't even think about it. I bet you don't even know if you got a donut or a real tire under your car. Some people, I bet you most people don't. Never looked at it because I ain't never had a flat yet. But when I have a flat, I'll look for it and it better be there and it better have air in it. These donuts, do they have air in them or are they a solid tire?
They're a solid tire.
Yeah. Well, that's because people never check their spare tires. So they have a flat after 5 or 10 years and there ain't no air in the spare tire. So they just had to make them solid so that... Because nobody checks a spare tire. And nobody uses a spare tire. Unless they're in desperate need. Broke down on the highway, sitting out in the middle of nowhere and we need a tire. That's the way they use God. We don't need God like that. No, no, no. God, He's not the co-pilot. He's the pilot. That's a bad deal. God is my co-pilot. Nope. No, no. You missed it there. God is the pilot. I'm not even the co-pilot. God's the God is the pilot. Not as a decoration. God's not just to be used to embellish your life and reputation among other people.
Right.
Yep. Don't need God that way. Not as an emergency escape. And let me hurry here. Everybody needs God as their Lord and Master, the guide of their life, the essence of their life. I can't help but talk about David. That was the difference in David. One time in his life, he failed at that. He looked aside. He did some things without making God first, without going to God for direction. And that's what ruined his life. But the rest of his life and all that he wrote, he talked about what I'm talking about here tonight. Going to God. Getting direction from God. When they were at Ziklag and everything was burned and all their wives and children and everything were, had been carried away by the Amalekites, and there they was. And he didn't know what to do. And everybody was talking about stoning him because it's his fault and he got us in this mess. And David was greatly distressed. What did he do? Y'all know. He said, bring me the ephod. And he prayed. He went to God. Did God answer him? Yes, sir. God always answered. Told him exactly what to do, and David took the ephod and said, all right, get your swords. They went and got and recovered all.
Yep.
All. Abraham went when they took Lot off and all those kings. Like Abraham says that too. Recovered all. Good thing he went to God instead of just trying it on his own. Instead of going to the men and saying, well, what do y'all think we ought to do? What can we do? Let's have some counsel here. I don't know what to do. Now, that David wasn't that kind of leader. He just looked at all them, and they were a ragtag bunch anyway, and he said, I believe I'll ask God what I ought to do.
Yeah.
Believe we ought to do the same thing.
Yes.
Instead of figuring and reasoning and using worldly counsel and worldly reasoning and looking at everything like our church and its property and everything and looking at it in a worldly view and taking everything into account here, I think we ought to just look to God and say, Lord, help us.
Yes, sir.
Make a way for us.
Amen.
Show us where we ain't sin. Help us. Everybody needs God as the guide of their life, the essence of their life. I'm going to read two verses here for you. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. For me to live is Christ. That's the essence of your life. I mentioned a while ago, in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him. That's where we live. He's our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear.
Amen.
Paul said in Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul's saying the same thing. He said, I'm old Saul of Tarsus, he's dead. And the life I'm, he said, but I'm alive. He said, yeah, that was me, but he's dead. Now this is me. But the life I live now is Christ living in me. It's not my life. He's got to be your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure, I read this a while ago, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That no flesh should glory in His sight. It's just it's the way to go, let me tell you. It's the only thing that shores up your faith. You trust in God, really trust in God like we've been talking about here. And not in men, not in yourself, not in your own resources or intelligence or whatever. And God will help you.
Yes, will.
And you see that a time or two. And it's kind of habit-forming, too.
Oh, yes.
you realize this thing is really real.
Yep.
God is really real, and it works like this. Mm-hmm. When I trust Him, He's faithful. He's faithful.
Yes.
He helps me.
Yes.
He may not give me what I want. He may do something entirely different, but I'm satisfied with it.
Yep.
Same way with heaven. A lot of people got this idea of heaven, and it's just a great big reunion someday. And boy, if it ain't like that, they don't want to go there. Let me tell you something. Heaven's not going to be what we're expecting and what we're visualizing in our little pea brains. But I guarantee you, you're going to be satisfied.
Yes.
Ain't nobody in heaven going to say, is this all it is?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to get to heaven and look around and for somebody and you know, if they're not there, they don't want to be there. It ain't going to be like that at all. Yeah. Believe me, God is powerful enough to fix it all. Amen. I'll quit. It's getting hot in here. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. It's clear. The message we talked about here tonight, this is very clear in the Word of God. That this is the way we're to be. We're to have our faith in You and in Your power. And not in ourselves, not in other men, not even in our own faith. Lord, help us not to trust our faith, but to trust in Thee. It's Jesus that saves, not our faith. We're not saved by our believing, we're saved by Jesus. Who died for us. And when we just cast all our care upon Him, that's what it does. That's when it happens. That's when we realize that we're born again. Lord, I pray You'd help us all. I know as I'm talking to a small crowd, I know that even in this small crowd, there's bound to be some who are struggling, who just can't seem to get their feet on the ground in this matter. And I know why. Because they're looking to themselves. They're looking to others, and they're not looking to You. I know what happened when I looked to You. I've watched a few others in the moment that the light broke through in this matter, and they looked to You. And I saw what happened. The life changing, being born again. When God comes in that instant, and sets up His abode in that heart, Lord, I pray You'd give understanding. This is where the devil blocks the mind and blinds the mind. It's where he sets up his stronghold to keep people from understanding this matter right here. And I pray for everybody here tonight that You would deliver them from the clutches of the devil and that they could understand and really trust You with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind. Please help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.